God is good. And all the time, you got that right. You know, I wondered why I all of a sudden got so hot while I was sitting in the front. And then I remembered Randy's always praying, "Oh Lord, preach him like he's never preached before." And I thought, "Good Lord, I'm on fire and I haven't even got up there yet." I want to tell you, you hear about the country church that was having a revival meeting. And on the first night, the preacher preached a message about repentance. And brothers and sisters, we need to return to the Lord. You need to return to the Lord. And at the altar call, a man came down to the front and the aisle, and he said, "Oh, Lord," he came as he was coming, "fill me, Lord, oh, fill me, Lord." Well, the next night, the preacher challenged the congregation with a need. You need to totally surrender your lives to Christ. Completely surrender your lives to Christ. That same man came down the aisle and he's crying, "Oh, fill me, Lord. Just fill me, Lord. Fill me." Well, the third night of revival, the preacher warned his congregation of the evils of sin. And he urged the congregation, "You got to live holy lives. You need to live holy lives." And again, the invitation was given. And the same man came down the aisle and he's crying, "Fill me, Lord, fill me, Lord." Then from out of the back of the congregation was heard Denny Williams' voice shouting, "Lord, forget it, he leaks." That just sounds like something Danny would say, doesn't it? Oh, even when he's not here, he's here. Well, family and friends, the truth of the matter is, if we're honest, we all leak from time to time, amen? We all lose our way from time to time, as the songwriter wrote about the human heart, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the Lord I love. And if we're not careful, it's very easy to lose our first love and find ourselves wading into the pool of the lukewarm. Now, God has asked us to consider at various points throughout this sermon series for answering that question is found in the answer to this question: how important is obedience to you? In your walk with God, is obeying God a high priority? Here's a couple of questions that'll help us answer that. What's better, to be associated with people who obey God or disobey God? Would God, who knows you better than you know yourself, say that you obey? Now, we know that Saul, Israel's first king, as we've been talking about him, he was a rebel. From day one, this man literally, and I mean literally, twisted or violated or rebelled against everything God asked him to do. In Saul's life, the essence of his sin was threefold. He refused to honor God. He refused to obey God. He refused to submit himself to the Word of God. Family and friends, let me ask you tonight, would it be wise, according to the Bible, for us to ask ourselves those questions? Lord, let's just take it to the Lord in prayer. Lord, Do I submit myself to your word on a daily basis? Do I come daily unto the bread of life? Lord, do the thoughts and the words and the actions of my life, do they give proof of my obedience? Lord, do I live my life in a manner that says I'm on this earth to honor you? Lord, am I a vessel through whom you can glorify yourself in this dark and sinful world in which we live today? And I wonder sometimes when I get to thinking, I wonder how many Christians today would answer this question. Has God put a call on your life? How many of you know that He sure has? He's asked us to be doers of the word. I know I quote this verse all the time, but it's just that important. Be ye a doer of the word, and not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. He's asked us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. By this point in this series of messages, I'm quite certain that all of us could agree and would say of Saul, you know, that man was a good hearer, but he was a poor doer. And you'd be right. Well, that's not really the question, is it? No, the question is, what about me? What about us? Are we good hearers and doers, or are we just good hearers who don't do? How important is obedience to you? You know, the one thing I love about the Bible is that God always makes it personal. The other thing I love about the Bible is that God never asked me to do something that Jesus Christ Himself, God Himself in the flesh, did not model. Jesus was absolutely obedient, wasn't He? I think the words that coined Jesus' total obedience and submission to His Father were these words in the garden, "Nevertheless, not my will, but what, church? Time been done." You know, in life, we're going to struggle with that all the time, aren't we? How often do we come to that point where we're so submissive to God, we say, you know what, God, you're right. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That's the litmus test, isn't it? How important is obedience to you? Take your Bible, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Tonight we're going to look at the first 23 verses here in this chapter. And if you can, rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word. 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And the Word of our Lord says unto us, "Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over His people Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." And I believe God would be saying that to us tonight. "Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." And Saul gathered the people together, and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, "Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But You know, there's always a but, isn't there, when it comes to Saul? But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they utterly destroyed. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Father, tonight as we consider this question, how important is obedience to each and every one of us? And I pray, Father, the longer we continue in this series with Saul, the more we will see the utter stupidity of disobeying the Lord our God. Lord, help us. Lord, guide us. And Lord, help us here to understand that it is far better to obey the Lord our God completely. Because if we don't, we've not obeyed at all. In Christ's name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. Now here in this text, Samuel informs us in the first three verses that God remembered what Amalek did to Israel. And the natural question is, what did God remember? And God remembered that when the children of Israel left Egypt, how they were attacked by Amalek. 400 years earlier, Amalek had attacked Israel. And for 400 years, God has been patiently waiting for the Amalekites to repent of this sin. But what we discover is that 400 years have gone by since they first attacked Israel, and the Amalekites have not repented of their sin. And what's more, they're still rebellious people. And so God is simply letting us know that the Amalekites, they were a brutal people. They were a wicked people. They were just a plain old wicked lot who refused to repent of their wickedness. And God has been extremely patient, hasn't he? I mean, I think anybody that's going to wait about 400 years, that's pretty patient, isn't it? God's been waiting on them. And I believe that during those 400 years, certainly God's been speaking to him. but they're not listening. And as I preached not long ago, there does come a time when God's patience runs out. There will come a time when God says, that's enough. You will go no farther. Family and friends, God is patient with rebellious people. That's one of the great things. If you have a rebellious child, a rebellious relative, a rebellious whatever in your life, and they're still on this earth, you can thank God for being patient with them. Amen. Because we sure don't want to see them go to that other place. We want to see them home in heaven with us. And I'm so thankful that God is patient with rebellious people. Beyond that, you and I at one time in our lives, we were rebellious too, weren't we? There was a time before Christ. Well, I'm just so thankful Jesus come into my heart. What about you? But God remembers. And God has waited for 400 years for these people to repent. They've not repented. Of this we can be certain. There is a judgment coming. Amen. And not a one of us knows what day it's going to be. God remembers because he wants us. He wants to use Saul as his instrument of judgment on the Amalekites. And the rest of our text brings out four principles here. Principles that clearly educate us on obedience and disobedience. And the first is this: God's instructions to us are always very specific. God is very clear in our text as to what he wants Saul to do. Now, let's be honest about something tonight. The gospel message isn't hard to understand, is it? So why is it that so many people find it difficult to come to Christ, to obey what God would have them do? And I'll tell you why that is. Because the very first step of obedience is to admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And as stubborn, independent people, we find that very difficult to admit. But God's word is clear and specific. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you're already saved, God's word isn't hard to understand. God's instruction is to us is very clear, as I said at the beginning. It's not hard to understand, but be ye doers of the word. And not hearers only. It's not hard to understand, is it? It's just hard to do. Because to be a doer of the word means we have to constantly be growing in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm just going to be bold because I've been that way all day today. If you're not in this word, and you're not spending time in this word, there is no way you can claim to be in a growing relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's be honest. Living the Christian life isn't easy, is it? We all find it difficult to do what God asks us to do at times, don't we? And yet, none of us can claim that God was unclear in his word as to what he expected from us. It may take us some time to understand what God is asking of us at times, but God's made it easy for us to be obedient because of the thoroughness by which he has spoken to us in this very, very precious word. No one will ever be able to say that God's instructions weren't clear and they were not specific. That's why our second principle here teaches there's a big difference between obedience and partial obedience. And that's the obvious emphasis of God's word to Green Valley and all those listening on the live stream tonight. Please understand that Saul's sin was not that he didn't obey at all. The truth is he did a lot of what God had said, didn't he? He rallied the troops. He fought the battle. He carried out the majority of the mission. That's what a lot of people are doing today in the Christian life.
They're doing some of what God says, and then they pat themselves on the back like all day, and they say, well, you're not a wonderful Christian. But you see, what we need to understand is that Saul did not completely obey God, and therein lies the problem. Understand, as a child of God, God doesn't expect us to be perfect in every way overnight. God knows, as a child, we are going to have to take slow and deliberate steps of growth, because that's what children do, don't they? God knows it's going to take some time to cleanse us of some sinful habits and replace them with some godly habits. That's why when we come to salvation in Christ, it's not the end all. That step is just the first step of a lifelong relationship with the living Lord. One that will help us and should be helping us becoming more like Jesus Christ every day of our lives. You know what? If you're a Christian and you're here tonight, you ought to be saying, thank God. Thank God for the Word of God, and thank God tomorrow I'm going to look just a little bit more like Jesus and a lot less like this world. Amen? That should be the goal. None of us are perfect. We must still obey what God has said to us in any given situation. That's what God means when He says to us, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Whatever it is that God tells us we're to do all of it and not just a part of it. Saul only did a part of it. That's the emphasis of our text here in 1 Samuel 15. Now, why did Saul only partially obey? For the same reasons many of God's people do today. You see, Samuel put his finger on the whole matter there in verse 19. Look at that again. He says, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? To interpret this correctly, we need to be reminded that in biblical times, a person's wealth was determined by the amount of animals they had. And so the issue here is Saul and Israel did not want to let go of the material possessions they'd captured. They didn't want to let that go. That's the reason, the whole reason, Saul failed to obey the Lord completely. And so when it comes to our material possessions, we must consider the question, do we obey God with our material possessions? Does God own them, or do they own us? You see, the issue of whether we're living in rebellion toward God or in submission to Him is what's at stake here. And the bottom line is taught through Saul's example here. Listen, God wants us to know that one of the quickest ways to rebellion and disobedience, one of the quickest ways it shows up in us, is the way we handle the material possessions that God has given unto us. And then there's a third principle here. Did you note as we read the text, disobedience is hard to acknowledge? You see it there in Saul's answer in verse 13. He says, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Say what? In the midst of his disobedience, Saul is claiming to have been obedient. Now, our text doesn't tell us if Saul is trying to lie to cover up his sin or not, nor can we tell whether he was self-deceived, believing he hadn't sinned when he had sinned. Neither option is very good. On the other hand, both are instructive for us when they're applied to our own lives. I think we all can agree. It's not easy to acknowledge disobedience, is it? Now, if I said that right, you can say amen. Do you realize that a person falls into one of four categories when it comes to them and the instruction of God's Word to us? First, there's the person who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Second are those believers who seek to be obedient to God and His Word. Third are folks who can honestly say, I just didn't know because I'm new to the Christian faith. I'm still growing. I hadn't come across that in God's Word, but now that you're showing to me, yes, that's right. I need to get my life in line with that, but I just didn't know. But the fourth are those who are saved, and yet they remain rebellious towards God in certain areas of their lives. It could be certain sins, such as refusing to let go of bitterness. You say, why do you use that one as an example? Because of what's going on in the streets of America tonight. Boy, there sure is a lot of hatred out there, isn't there? There sure is a lot of bitterness. You know, I'm beginning to think the only thing that's good on Facebook is the stuff we put on it from the church. After that, there ain't much good on it. That's just an opinion. Could also be a shameless plug. Maybe you'll start tuning in. But to let go of bitterness. Boy, when you've been wronged, it's hard not to let that go sometimes, isn't it? But it could also be certain sins such as refusing to serve the Lord. Can you ask Miss Marie a question? How did it ever become that in the church we all want to be entertained and sit and not want to serve? But boy, that seems to go on in a lot of places today, doesn't it? We need to think about that. Whatever it is, it comes down to this for us and for them. They will not honor God with their life. We need to think about that. Are we honoring God? You can only answer it for yourself. I can only answer it for me. Am I honoring God with my life? What about you? Some people, they'll just not obey God's word. No matter, you can show it to them in black and white, and they will not obey it. They refuse to submit their will for God's will. And the reason is simply this. They have areas of rebellion in their heart towards God. That's why they won't do it. And Saul tried to tell Samuel. He had obeyed when the facts prove he hadn't. And so Samuel has to confront him in this sin, and he says, what meaneth, verse 14, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And then here comes the excuses. Isn't it interesting? People always have excuses, don't they? Well, we're saving them to offer to God. Now, we know that's not true because the right offering would have been to have done what God had said. So they're not saving them to offer to God. Saul wasn't buying that. So then notice what Saul does next. And this is what Saul always did. He always blamed others. It wasn't my fault. It was theirs. They made me do it. Now, it's one thing to be disobedient, and it's quite another to be disobedient and be lying about it. But that's what Saul's doing. And what God is helping us understand and see is that Saul was not a man of integrity, not one bit. He wouldn't even own up to it when he was confronted with it. What was Saul's problem? He was just a hearer. He wasn't a doer. That was his whole problem. Now, we can't tell what's going on in Saul's heart, but we certainly can discern by his actions that this man is a rebel through and through. You see, if we apply the question to Saul, is God the king of my heart or someone else sitting on the throne, the answer is obvious. God wasn't the king of Saul's life. Saul was. You see, Saul was only willing to obey God partially. Now remember, Jesus said, you're going to know people by their fruit. What I think about this, when I look into the scripture and I discern the fruit in Saul's life from God's word, what we're discovering is that Saul refused to fully surrender himself to the Lord. You want to know why that is? Because like a lot of people today, he was more concerned about what people thought than what God thought. The other reason I've already given you, he was a hearer, and not a doer. Thereby he deceived his own self. Or he heard what God said. And don't think for a minute tonight that the lost man in this world today hasn't heard what God has said. God has not left himself without a witness in this world. Every man, woman, child knows deep down what God has said in some kind of way. You say, the question is if they're going to be a doer of what God has said. God has said, James 1:22 and 25, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Well, the fourth principle is quite obvious, isn't it? God tells us here, he delights in obedience. Note what Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord. Now we're sharing about how hard it is to obey God at times. How many of you would agree it is hard to obey God at times? Amen? But this isn't a negative topic at all, because the net effect of our obedience is this. God delights in it. Think about that. When you choose to forsake everything else for God, God delights in your obedience. That's an offering to him. And God is pleased with it. Let that sink in for a moment. And then as you think about your own life, allow me to ask you, would you rather be a delight and a joy to God or something else? From our text tonight, the one thing we can be sure, God takes no delight, God takes no joy in those who live rebellious lives. As the haunting words that close out 1 Samuel 15 remind us, partial obedience, friend, it doesn't cut it. God says it's the same thing as witchcraft. In other words, God equates partial obedience with being in the devil's camp. That kind of obedience only brings God sorrow. It don't bring him any joy. God has no delight in those who only obey partially. Remember, Saul did do some of what God said, but he didn't do what God said. As we close this message tonight, what does God want you to do with what you've just heard? Would he want you to consider the priority of obedience when it comes to your life? Would he want you to consider how you're going to answer the question of how well you heard and obeyed? Do you believe God would want you to think about how many times you've simply heard and didn't obey and that repent of it? This point in your life, is it time for you to consider the question a little bit more seriously? Is God the king of my heart, or someone else sitting on the throne? That's a good question, isn't it? For all of us, at every moment of every day. You know, Jesus, as he was in the garden, praying, Lord, if this cup can pass. And God said it can't. And I believe in that moment Jesus had to answer that question fully. Is God the king of my heart? Someone else sitting on the throne. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. I hope for myself, as well as for you, and for those listening on the live stream tonight, that in every choice we have to make, we'd seek to glorify God. Amen. Father, we just thank you tonight for your word unto us. And, oh Lord, how good it is to hear your word unto us. Lord, we just pray tonight that we will profit from it, that we'll stop and we'll consider the way we live and the way we do things, and Lord, that we can be certain, that we can answer with a surety that you are the king of our heart and we are not sitting on the throne. Lord, it's a decision we face daily, moment by moment, in every choice that we make. And Lord, I pray that in every decision we make, we'll do what your word says. That we'll not be wise in our own eyes, but that we'll trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not upon our own understanding. That in everything we'll acknowledge you and allow you to direct our path. Lord, I pray that we'll determine in our heart, right now, right here, that we'll purpose that in everything, no matter how tough it gets, that we will say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, we long to be a delight to you. Help us to obey you in all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, as we get ready to sing our closing hymn tonight, Jesus calls us over the tumult. There are a lot of things we can be praying for, isn't there? Boy, we got a nation, we got an election coming up that we need to be praying for. You probably got some lost people in your family, some people that you're concerned about that you need to be praying for. Maybe God's been speaking to you, and there's a decision you need to make tonight. I don't know what it would be, but you know. Because, you know, you come into church here, and God's just kind of been knocking on the door of your heart for a while now. Maybe you need to join the church. Maybe you need to confess something. Maybe you just need to come for prayer. I don't know. But God has been speaking to you. I know that. Because his word never goes out more. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never received Christ as your salvation. Maybe you're here tonight and you've been living a Christian life, but you know, somewhere you lost your first love. You just lost the joy of it. You know, whatever it is. The reason we have an altar call is because God stands up here ready to give you victory when you make that step toward God. Did you know that? God loves you. God wants the best for you. So tonight as we stand to sing this song, God speaking to your heart, you come, whatever it might be, you just come and turn it to God. You walk out of here a little bit lighter, a little bit freer, but a whole lot happier. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and let's sing tonight.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives while restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than these. Jesus calls us by thy mercies. Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thine obedience. Serve and love thee best of all. Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our lives while restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, Christian, follow me. Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, Christian, love me more. In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, Christian, love me more than thee.
Let us pray. God, it's been good to have been in your house today and to hear your word and to be with your people. And oh, it's just good when you talk to us and speak to our hearts. God, I just pray that we might walk away a better Christian tonight. And if there would be one that was lost and need a Savior, God, I pray that you would just deal with them and they might find you as their Savior tonight. Thank you for our pastor. Thank you for the message and his work that he does. And Lord, go with each person here tonight as we go our separate ways. And Lord, I just pray that, Lord, if one would slip out, one would go home. I pray, oh God, that heaven would be all of our homes tonight, that we would just go and be with you and spend eternity with God. Again, lead and guide and direct our path, Lord. We love you tonight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.